Right, okay. Okay, good evening.
We have got two copies.
Oh, you've got two? That shows how short it is.
Short it is,
So we're looking at Parshat Behar, which is this week's Parsha, Parshat HaShavua, the center of the week. It's actually very hard to find a ma'amar, which is a discourse which is focused on this Parshat HaShavua, because very often Behar goes together with Bechukotai, and also very often Behar is the time of Lag BaOmer. So the Maimah, the discourse, is about Lag BaOmer, but Lag BaOmer is going to be in 2 weeks' time, that's Hashem. So then we'll explore a discourse on that. Hopefully next week we'll talk about Pesach Sheni, the concept of the second Pesach, and then the week after is about Lag BaOmer. Perhaps, you know, but this is about Behar, and so let's just have a look at what it says over here. V'yadabar Hashem al Moshe Behar Sinai Lemo. Hashem spoke to Moshe at Mount Sinai, saying, Daber el Bnei Israel, speak to the Jewish people, v'amata aleihem, and you should say to them, Ki tavo el haaretz, when you come to the land, asher ani noten lachem, which I'm giving you, v'shafta haaretz Shabbat Lashem, and the land should rest a Shabbat for Hashem. Sheish shanim tizra sadecha, for 6 years you should sow your fields, v'sheish shanim tizmor kamecha, and for 6 years you should prune your vineyards, v'asafta et tuhatan, you should gather its produce, uv'shana hashviit, but in the 7th year, Shabbat Shabbaton yiyeh la'aretz. It should be a Sabbath of Sabbaths for the land, Shabbat for Hashem, Sadecha lo tizra, and in that year, that Shemitah year, that year of Shabbat, lo tizra, you shouldn't sow your field, v'chamacho lo tizmo, and you shouldn't prune your vineyard, and so on. Okay. So there is the idea of Shnat Shemitah, which in fact this year is Shnat Shemitah. There's an interesting point that it says that this is Behar Sinai. We heard this at Behar Sinai. And one of the things that we learn from this is that all the mitzvot come from Har Sinai, that they were told to Moshe at Har Sinai. Kol ma she'talmid vatik atid lechadesh bifnei rabo, kvar ne'emar le'Moshe b'Sinai. Anything that a seasoned student would ever discover as a new idea in discussion with his rabbi, with his teacher, Kvar ne'emar le'Moshe b'Sinai, was already told to Moshe at Mount Sinai. So that concept is repeated. It's in the Talmud Yerushalmi, it's in the Midrash, it's a very pervasive concept. But that is not what this discourse focuses on. This discourse focuses on another facet. Is there anything funny, anything strange about the text as I read the text? Speak to the Bnei Israel, say to them, when you come to the land I'm giving to you, and the land should rest a Shabbat for Hashem. 6 years you should work the fields, and then should be Shabbat. What, can you see anything odd?
Anything like the Bria?
That's true. The 6 days of creation and then Shabbat. What order does it put it in?
What order? First 6 years and then a year.
Yeah. Ki tavo el haaretz asher ani noten lachem v'shafta haaretz Shabbat Lashem.
Ah, so it's shafta haaretz, then 6 years and then shafta again?
Yeah, well, it's very strange. How can they be? It looks as if they're first going to, that when they come into the land of Israel, it's going to be Shnat Shemitah. The text looks like that. Yeah? Nachon? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's going to be the discussion, which is in this Ma'amar. And the discussion is going to revolve around a certain theme which is there at the on the next page.
Very good book.
Yeah. Here we have
the long version or the short version?
Well, it's got both in here because because it's got one version with commentaries. It's actually got it a few. See, here is the version with commentaries, and then it gives like the short version at the end, just very just straight through. It's got several several versions in here. So this is Sefer Yetzirah, Torah. Yeah, you know.
Shel Avraham Avinu.
That's right. Hamiyuchas LaAvraham Avinu. Kach Katuv Hamiyuchas, attributed to Abraham, our father, Alav Hashalom. So it's certainly an ancient spiritual teaching, right? And it's an ancient text, but also the ideas are very, very fascinating ideas, and it's attracted a lot of different commentators. And Sefer Yetzirah begins off with the idea of Belamed Bet, with the 32 paths of wisdom. Hashem created the world, which is the 22 letters and the 10 sefirot. It's the 32 nitivot, pliot, chokhma, chakak, and then comes a whole set of names for Hashem, and that he vara et olamo b'shloshes sfarim b'sefer v'sipur. Sofer v'sipur. So it's the Bar Mitzvah boy's mimer. The discourse said by a Bar Mitzvah boy quotes a little bit of this paragraph. That's in the Chabad custom. But one of the very interesting things that we have in Sefer Yetzirah is this, just a few words over here. Na'utz tchilatan b'sofan v'sofan b'tchilatan. The end is joined in the beginning is joined in the end, and the end is joined in the beginning. Okay, so that will help us explore this discourse, and we will first have the maima nigun, nigun shel maima, liftoch et halev, so that we hopefully will come to open the heart, so we'll come a little bit closer to the nigun which is in the maima. You know, there's a story of a man who came to visit Rabbi Shneur Zalman. Now, this man who came was a rabbi. He was a scholarly man, but he had never learned Kabbalah or Hasidut, and these terms, Atzilut, Briyah, Olamot, Ein Sof, they were all very strange to him. He hadn't learned them. He was a Talmudist. He had studied Talmud. And he came, and Rabbi Shneur Zalman said the maimer, and the man could see everyone around him was very inspired. They all took it very seriously, and it was very moving, but he just couldn't follow. He tried to understand, then would come some technical term, and he just couldn't follow. So he came over to Rabbi Shneur Zalman afterwards, and he said, I've come to listen to your teachings, and I can see that people are very inspired by them, but I can't understand. So Rabbi Shneur Zalman said, I will sing for you the melody of the maimer, and and you'll understand the pnimiyot somehow.
What is the etymology? What is maimer?
Maimer means ma'amar, like we say ma'amar in the academic world. Mishu kotev ma'amar al toldot. Okay. So, but maima. So, it's a word which has got a very, you know, it's used in the Talmud in a completely different context. But it's so it's translated as a discourse. So, maima chasidus is a Chabad Torah. In Braslav, let's say a Torah. a Torah. So they're different. In Ger they say a Shmisa. So there are different different words. But, so this is the word, a Maimah. Ma'amah. A discourse. So Rabbi Shneur Zalman said, I'll sing you the melody of the Ma'amah. And he sang a melody to this rabbi, and the rabbi was very taken by it. So we have the Maimah Nigun in order to help us learn the Maimah. Yo ya 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 yo ya yo yo ya ra ya ra yo ma bo ha ya ma ya ya ma ya ma bo ha ya ra ya ma ya ya ra ya ma yo ma ho ya ya ra ya ma ya ya yo Ha yiridamba ya ya hom, ha yiridamba ho, yamba yamba ya yambam, ho ya yamba yamba bam bam, ho ya ya ho ya ya hom, aho ya 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 yiramba ya 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 yo yiramba yam, ho yiramba ram bala hom. Ahom, ha ya ya yo yiram ba ya ya ba yo yiram ba yam, ha ya ya yiram ba, ha ya yiram ba yam bam bo, ya yiram ba yam bam bo, ha yiram ba, ha yiram ba, ho ya ha ya bam 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 bam, ho ya yam ba yam bam bam. Ho ya ya ho ya ya yom ki tavo el haaretz hashani noten lechem. When you come to the land which I'm giving you, v'shavta haaretz shabbat lahashem, and the land should rest a shabbat for Hashem, sheishanim tizrash sadech, for 6 years you should sow the field, v'sheishanim tizmor kamech, and 6 years you should prune your vineyard, gomer, etc. It's known, the question raised in a number of places. Ubifrat bidrush kvot kdushat admor ha'emtzai shenitpas lachrona. Especially in a teaching of the Mittler Rebbe, the second Lubavitcher Rebbe, that was recently printed. Now this discourse was said in this week of Parshat Baha in 1986. Tavshin Mem Vav. So that's 22 years ago. And so the Rebbe's referring to a discourse that was recently printed, and there it has the question, the Yesh Lahavin, we've got to understand, B'Lashon Mama, the meaning of the words, Ki Tavo El Haaretz, when you come to the land, the Mashma, the Miyad Shiyavo El Haaretz, which suggests the way that we looked at the psukim, as soon as they come to the land, v'shavta haaretz, the land should rest. There should be a shmitah year as soon as they come into the land of Israel. Ve'eich efshar shetiyah miyad shana shviit. How is it possible there should immediately be a seventh year? Im lo kavnu tchila sheishanim, if they didn't first have 6 years of reaping the land, of working the land. Kamo shekatuv, sheish shanim, tizras sedech v'gomer, v'achar kach, v'shana shvi'it. As he goes on to say, 6 years you work the land, and after that, in the seventh year, you rest. V'gam eichama, then there's another question, how can it say, l'shon v'shavta ha'aret, the land should rest? Halo yadur, de'ein l'shon shvita, it's known that the expression shvita, Shayach rak min ha'avoda u'melacha. You rest. This word, shvita, apart from its modern meaning of a strike. You can't strike if you don't work. So, but just taking it in the sense of resting. This word relates rak min ha'avoda u'melacha. Resting from work. It means resting from work. So that means that you work and then you rest. ואיך אמר ושבת הארץ? How can it say that the land rested? אחר שלא פרש תחילה, עבודה בארץ כלל. It hasn't said anything about working the land at all. והיה לעולמה תחילה. It should have first of all said like this. כי תבוא אל הארץ, שש שנים תצרע. This would be the natural way of putting it. When you come to the land, for 6 years you should plant, and 6 years you should prune, and so on. ואחר כך ובשנה השביעית, and after that, in the 7th year, בשבתה הארץ, the land should rest. That would be the normal way you would expect it.
That's if the land you were coming to had not been used before. Weren't there other people there already?
There had been.
Yeah, but they don't have Shnat Shmita.
Do what?
They don't have Shnat Shmita.
No, but they were using the land. So when the Yidden arrived, maybe it was... Now you've got to give the land a rest.
You know, it's a possibility. It could be understood in a way like that. It's not impossible to understand it in that way. And one could imagine that there is a commentator. I don't know if there is, but there may be a commentator who says, that's what it is, or maybe that's what it is, because the Gemara doesn't put it in that way. You know, so the. But you can sometimes have a commentator, Perush, on the Mikra, who is not tied to the way the Gemara explains it. Because you have the Limud al Derech HaPshat. So the Gemara may explain things al Derech HaDrush, al Derech HaHalacha, whereas you can get a Pshat commentator, Rashi himself, will sometimes give one explanation of the Pasuk in the Chumash, and when the same Pasuk is being discussed in the Gemara, it's in a different way, and Rashi gives a different explanation. And Ibn Ezra will often explain, not in the way the Gemara explains, or the Midrash, but in what seems closer to the Pshat, to the simple meaning. So there might be a commentator who says that's the pshat, like David said. The land was worked by the Canaanites, and now you come along to the land, you've got to give it a rest before you start doing anything. Economically, it might be problematic, but that might be a possible, one of the many pathways of interpretation.
It's like the utensils that you've had the sex in meat and milk, but you put it in the earth. There's a very simple other thing, The first sentence just introduces the principle. You know, when you come to the land, you know, you will have to let the land rest for good. And now I'll give you the details.
I think that's a very nice way of looking at it, and that's exactly how the discourse looks at it, that na'utz, it's telling you the basic principle right at the beginning. But then it's going to take you 6 years of working, and then the 7th year, till you get to put that principle into practice. Yeah. Because the way that you work the land... the way that you work the land in the first year, the second year, when you know that you're going to rest in the 7th year, you've got a different attitude. The same in the week. You know Shabbat's going to be Shabbat, so Sunday and Monday are different, because I know that there's going to be a Shabbat. So there's already an atmosphere about the Sunday and Monday. Now, that relates to the Kabbalistic concept, Na'utz Trilatam B'Sofam, that the end is joined in the beginning, and the beginning is joined in the end. And that is where this discourse is moving, to a kind of state of consciousness where final, ultimate, tachlit goals are somehow there in the person's consciousness right at the beginning and at every stage in the process. So this discourse can be understood as a kind of an exploration of time. You see, one can sometimes see time, as it were, you know, it's like a line. So over here is long ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, and here we are, the linear concept of time. So we're very far away from something that happened over here because we're now here. On the other hand, you can have a cyclic concept of time which goes round and round, and so this point over here or that point over there, every year we're like not far away from it when we come close to that, when the cycle of the Jewish year. Every year we leave Egypt, every year we get the Torah. It's a cycle going round. On Rosh Hashanah every year the world is recreated. So all the time we are relating to past events, but they're somehow fresh in our mind. Now this is actually giving a different concept, not linear, not cyclic, but it's where the goal is there present right at the beginning of the journey. So I don't know how to do that graphically, maybe you'll think. But it's a state of consciousness in which the tachlit is na'utz sofan betchilatan, utchilatan besofan. So there is that integration of the goal and the moment. The past, present and future are integrated together.
There is also a poem by T.S. Eliot that says, in the beginning is the end as well. With this idea that the end is in the beginning and the beginning is in the end. I think it's one of the four quartets.
It might be
Bernd Norton.
In the beginning is the end. Yeah, although I think he means it in a more destructive way. Yeah, I suspect, I can't remember. It may not be.
I don't get this feeling, but I don't remember it very well.
There's also Christian references, Alpha, Omega. Mm-hmm.
Where, in the poem?
Well, no, it's the context. Okay. So let's see what it says. V'yesh lo hosif bazeh. All right, you've got that. It's about six lines from the end of this first paragraph. Three words from the end of the line. V'yesh lo hosif bazeh, one can add, b'toch ma'ma muzgar, as in brackets, so to speak, that when they entered the land the first time, b'mei Yoshua, in the days of Joshua, הנה לא זו בלבד שהיו צריכים להמתין שש שנים. Not only did they have to wait 6 years, עד שהייתה שנת השמיטה, till it became the year of Shemitah, the sabbatical year, אלא שגם לפני זה, but before that, היו שבע שנים שכבשו ושבע שנים שחלקו. This is a famous concept in the Talmud, which is there in the Mikra, that it took them 7 years to conquer the land and 7 years to settle and divide up the land among the different shvatim. V'rak la'acha ha'kibush v'chaluka v'hityashvut, only after conquering, dividing up, settling, az itchil inyan sheish shanim tizra sadecha. Then began, according to the Chachamim, then began the process of counting the 6 years of sowing the field. V'rak ach la'achnei zeh ba'ah shana shvi'it. Only after that came the seventh year. V'im kein doresh bio. So in other words, it wasn't so quick. It was 20 years later. They came into the land of Israel, and 20 years later, the 14 years of conquest and settling the land, and then 6 years of plowing the land, and finally they come to the Shnat HaShemitah.
And 40 years by Midbar.
You're right. You're right. But the Pasuk begins, Ki Tavo El Aretz. So that's after the 40 years. They've already got to the land. V'im kein doresh biyoter, so therefore needs extra explanation. Loshon haKatuv, the meaning of the verse, ki tavo la'aretz gomer v'shavta aretz, that it immediately says when you come to the land should rest. Okay, so that's the question. V'hine nekudat habiyur b'zehi. Now the nekuda, the essence of the explanation of this is, al pi aklala yadua, according to the general principle, which is in Sefer Yetzirah, chapter 1, Mishnah 7, D'na'ud sofan betchilatan utchilatan besofan. The end is joined in the beginning, and the beginning is joined in the end. V'hainu, and that means, shesof ugmar ha'inyan, that the completion of the concept, na'u, of whatever it is, na'utz is joined, is bonded, v'nimtza kvar betchilato, and exists already right at the beginning. Like a composer is going to compose a symphony. So he's sitting down and he's like humming little bits to himself, and he's writing a few this and this on the, now it's on a computer. And then he presses a button and it gives you the accompaniment. But let's imagine that. But what he's got in mind is a whole, 30-piece orchestra, and they're going to be playing something, and that is there right at the beginning, this image, this vision. There's a fascinating, the person whose discourse this is discussing, this is a discourse by the Mittler Rebbe, which it's a volume of discourses by the Mittler Rebbe on Vayikra, on this parsha, on Sefer Vayikra. Now the Mittler Rebbe, the same Rabbi Dov Ber, the Mittler Rebbe, he wrote a book called Shah HaYichud, Gate of Unity. And Gate of Unity is a book about Hitbonenut, sometimes called Kuntres HaHitbonenut, Tract on Contemplation. He wrote another book called Kuntres HaHitpa'alut, Tract on Ecstasy, which was translated into English with that title, Tract on Ecstasy. But Kuntres HaHitbonenut, called Shah Yichud, goes step by step through the system of Sfirot, from the very, very highest level in Atzilut, and the highest level, right down to the lowest level of existence, stressing the integration of the highest and the lowest at every level, that at every stage of the process of creation of the universe, there is an integration of the final goal with the steps which are so ethereal, it's just something happening in a realm of divine radiance. But nonetheless, within that, na'ut tchilatan b'sofan, b'sofan b'tchilatan, there is this concept of integration and connection, interfolding. What's the word? There was a man called David Bohm, who was a scientist here in Britain, very, very eminent scientist. And he would speak about like universes which are infinitely enfolded in each other, and he had some interesting words. So that means Val derech zeh, so we have the idea shemiyad betchilat velachin. So we've got Velachena Makam Bakatu. That's why it says Kitavo, when you come to the land Vashafta, the land should rest. Shemiyad betchilat biyatana aretz, that as soon as they came into the land, Nautzasov, there is the end, the goal, the Vashafta Aretz Shabbat Lashem, that the land should rest. Valderech Zeleidach Yisan, the same the other way round. Shitchilatan Nautz Vesofan, that the beginning is joined in the end. Hainu. Da'atchalat kol davar, the beginning of everything, she'ia kavanah v'tachlit, the goal, the purpose for which shebiglalah matchilim et ha'davar, the reason why we begin that thing, hinu utzah ba'asof, is there integrated with the end as well. The miluya kavanah hu ba'asof, the real fulfillment of the intention is at the end when you've done it. V'zeh ma shekatuv ki tavo v'shavta, that's why it says when you come into the land, then the land will rest. Shetekef betchilat ha'inyan, right at the very beginning, b'machshava shelifnei ha'masa, in the thought before the action, shehi ha'kavana v'tachlit, which is the intention and the purpose, na'utz ha'sof, the end is there as well. Sheyeh, that it will be v'shavta ha'aretz Shabbat l'Hashem, that the earth should rest a Shabbat for Hashem. V'inyan zeh nimshach b'chol ma shebein tayim, and this concept flows through everything which is in between. Ad shebesof ha'inyan, till at the end of the whole thing, ba'al yidei gilu ha'kavana v'tachlit shebetchilato, one achieves the revelation of the intention and the purpose from the beginning, sheyeh v'shavta ha'aretz Shabbat Hashem, that it should actually be shvitat ha'aretz. So in other words, we have this concept that at the beginning you have in mind what's going to be at the end, and when you reach the end, that's when your initial purpose is achieved. And this sense of integration of end and beginning is there all the way through the total process. Okay, so that is answering a question in the Torah, why does the phrase put it this way rather than that way, and that it's got a particular meaning, and we can understand it. However, as you know, the Hasidic approach is that every single pasuk in the Torah is talking about us, as well as talking about the land, or talking about history, or a battle, or a Haman HaRasha, or Mordechai HaYehudi, whatever it might be, it's us, it's you and me. So it's all happening, it's all the psychological map of the individual and his or her process and struggle and achievement through life. Now, in general, this parsha, this teaching, kai al klalut avodata adam. This is applying to the general service of the individual. Shetachlit avodahi, the purpose, the goal of our service is sheyeh v'shavta aretz Shabbat l'Hashem, that we should achieve that quality of the land resting a Shabbat for God. L'yom shekulo Shabbat, the day which will be completely Shabbat, u'menucha, and rest, l'chaye ha'olamim, for eternity. In other words, the time of Mashiach, the time whether Mashiach or Olam Haba, he's talking in eschatological terms. V'zeh nifal, and that is achieved al yedei avodah bentayim, through the service in between, v'shit al feshnin dahave alma, in the 6,000 years, the 6 millennia, which is the time of the normal existence of the world. D'shei shanin tizra sadecha, when it says for 6 years you should sow your field, v'shei shanin tizmor kamecha, and for 6 years prune your vineyard, that's talking about the 6,000 years. That's the 6 millennia. The inyan sadeh v'karem, the idea of a field or a vineyard, romez lebeit ha'ofanim klaliim b'avodat Hashem, hint at two general ways of serving God. Sadeh, sadeh hu makom gidul halechem, makom gidul halechem. Field means the place where you grow wheat, which is where, which becomes bread. Kmo shekatuv, eretz mimena yatza lechem. Right? So there's a verse in Job, in Eov, the land from which comes bread. Shalechem hu mukhrach lekiyum ha'adam, and bread is necessary, generally, for the life of a person. Ma she'en ken kerem, whereas a vineyard is something else. In Yanohu legadel anavim, the point of a vineyard is to grow grapes, leyayin, vezeitim neshemen, whether it's grapes for wine or olives for oil, ubechlalut uinyan shel ta'anug. In general, wine or oil are understood, olive oil are understood as something delightful. Shehu davar nosaf al hamuchlach, it's something in addition to that which is essential. The bread is essential. And on top of that comes wine and the olive oil. You see, in the time of the Mishnah, a typical meal is described as bread with olive oil. They would dip the bread in the olive oil and they would eat it. That would be a meal. So the olive oil is like we would have butter, something like that. It's something extra that you put on the bread. But if you didn't have butter, so you would just have the bread. So the bread is the essential, and then you have something which makes it more enjoyable. So the olive oil and the olives and the wine. So there you have the idea of ta'anug. Ukumavur b'chama makomot, as it's explained in a number of places, b'biyu alashon, as explaining the expression, actually I meant to bring the text of this bracha. B'birchat, and I forgot, b'birchat borena fashot rabot. There is a blessing that we say when we have either drunk a cup of tea, or eaten a piece of meat, it could be, or a piece of cheese, or an egg. These are things where we say shahakol niya bidvaro at the beginning, and borei nefashot at the end. Yes, oh wonderful, wow. Yeah, you couldn't get better than this. So we say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Nefashot Rabot, who creates many souls, V'Cheschonan, and their need. The interesting thing about this blessing, which is one of the most popular blessings, but it's extremely hard to understand. V'Cheschonan, and their need, Al Kol Ma Shebarata, together with all which you have created, lahachayot bahem nefesh kol chai, to keep alive in them the soul of every living thing, baruch hei haolamim, blessed is the life of the world. God, the life of the world. So he's now going to explain this text. So when it says, creating many souls, v'chesronan al kol ma shebarata lahachayot. Now, he's dividing this into two concepts. On the one hand, there's what's necessary, and in the other hand, there's what's enjoyable. Right? So we're looking at necessities and joyfulness, and enjoyment. The chesronan, when it says their needs, chesronan, kai al dvarim amuchrachim lekiyama adam, that means the things that are absolutely necessary for a person to live. But when it says, lahachayot means to keep them alive, but you could also translate it as to make them lively. Lahachayot behem nefesh kolchai, to make them feel good. So you have something extra, not just bread, but something else. Well, it's not talking about bread, but there are, because this blessing is said, not said on bread. On bread we say Birkat HaMazon. But it's talking here about two types of food, where one type is something which is an essential thing that we need in order to live, and the other one is something which is a luxury or a tainug of some kind, something tasty, which is something extra. And they're both covered within this bracha. So there we have the idea, dvarim shel ta'anug, things of delight. So that's in terms of food. In terms of food, we have sadeh, v'kerem, the field and the vineyards, the necessities and pleasures. Now, then we move to avodah ruchanit, the spiritual service of a person. Because, here's the blessing. at the very bottom of the page. Thank you very much. It says gives in initial letters Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, because it wouldn't fit, and then comes this phrase.
Ala Mechia.
Yeah. So here it's got all the different kinds of blessing that are said before food, after food. That. And in spiritual service, hem beit anyanim, they are the two things, the Torah and mitzvot. Torah and mitzvot, they are also the field and the vineyard. Which way round? The bechlalud, because in general, kiyum mitzvot, keeping mitzvot. Gam mitzvah Talmud Torah, there's also a mitzvah of learning Torah as well, so that can be included on the side of mitzvot. Hu inyan ha-muchrach. Mitzvot are essential, like the field. V'limud haTorah, whereas learning Torah, now there's two ways of learning Torah. One way of learning Torah is that you learn the Torah in order to know the mitzvot that you have to do. So that Torah is actually essential, because if you don't know the mitzvot that you have to do, mitzvot are essential. So if you don't know the mitzvot, you have to learn the Torah to know the mitzvot. But there are lots and lots of aspects of Torah which are not about knowing the mitzvah. It's some extra subtle dimension, like Chassidut that we're learning now, or it's some other dimension, where it's really ta'anuk, it's delight. And so that is, so the Torah, k'she'enu b'shvil le'da et ha-ma'aseh she'ya'asun ve'ela she'lo ta'asena. When we're learning Torah, not in order to know the do's and don'ts, ela limut Torah lishma, but learning Torah for its own sake. And learning Torah is hu inyan shel ta'anuk. It's a delightful thing. Now, you can take the idea of learning Torah lishma higher and higher and higher, more and more spiritual, but the basic concept that Torah it has within it something delightful, that's like the vineyard. Va'al derech zeh v'pratiyut v'mitzvot v'Torah atzmam. Here's the interleaving, the interfolding. So it is also with the mitzvot and the Torah themselves. The b'mitzvot, you can find two ways of keeping mitzvot. Hinei kiyum ha-mitzvah me'ikar ha-din, keeping the mitzvah in a minimal way, what the halakha says you must do. That is hu inyan ha-muchrach, that is the thing that one must do, that is like the field. The kiyuma behidur, but keeping the mitzvah in an extra special, beautiful way, going out of your way to do the mitzvah in a really nice way, hu inyan shel ta'anuk. That's the delight. Okay, so here in England, you know, that's the, you know, there's so many different little ways that this is expressed with minimal, you know, just basically keeping it at some basic level, or some kind of extra something in one way or the other to make it a extra special experience, an extra special quality of connection to Hashem. So there we have the basic mitzvah and the hidur, which are like the field and the vineyard. Val derech ze b'Torah, and you have the same dual quality in study of Torah, which we've already heard, because hinei limud haTorah kedei ledaat ha-ma'aseh she'ya'asun, learning Torah to know what we should do, hu inyan ha-muchrach, that's necessary. V'chein, and similarly, limud haTorah liyotah achat mirmach mitzvah satseh, and also learning Torah because it's a mitzvah. It's one of the 248 mitzvah, v'lemadetem otam et b'nechem, which to teach your children, and that we should learn. That is the idea of simply learning Torah as a mitzvah. Now that is inyan ha-muchrach. Ma she'en kein limud haTorah ba'ofen de yagdil Torah v'yadir, whereas learning Torah in a way that it goes more and more and more, drush v'kabel scha, explore Torah teachings, a Talmudic phrase, and receive more reward as you explain more and discover more. That ma she'haTorah yichochmato shel haKadosh Baruch Hu, the idea that the Torah is the infinite wisdom of Hashem, hu inyan shel ta'anuk. That's a quality of delight. V'zehu ma shekatuv. Now coming back to the verse. Sheish shanim tizras adecha v'sheish shanim tizmor kamecha. 6 years you should sow your field and prune your vineyard. Degama seder b'pasuk zehu b'diyuk. And the order in this verse is also precise. Techila tzaricha liyot avoda b'inyanim ha-muchachim. First of all, you have to get the essentials. Sadeh, the field. You're not doing very well if you have grapes but you haven't got bread. You have to have the basic diet. V'achakach tzarich lios avoda b'inyanei ta'anuk kerem. And then comes the service in the way of enjoyment, fields. The vineyard. V'achakach, and after that, when one has both these different dimensions, the necessary and also the delight, then you have the idea of the earth resting a Shabbat for God. The achash leimut avoda, after the wholeness of service of God, Be'inyanei. Sorry. B'chol ha'inyanim. In all, b'chol ha'inyanim elu, in all these different aspects, magiyim el ha'kavana, one reaches the intention, shahayta kva b'tchilat kol ha'inyanim. The intention that was there right at the beginning, Shabbat Lashem, a Shabbat to God. L'yom shekulo Shabbat umnucha lechaye olamim, the day which is all Shabbat and peace forever, ubeze gufa, and with this itself, omrim denaut sofam betchilatan utchilatan besofam, we say the end is joined in the beginning and the end, shekva betchilat ha'inyan, the right at the very beginning, lifnei sheshanim, before the 6 years, it's written in our parsha, v'shavta aretz Shabbat Lashem, that the earth will rest a Shabbat to God. So in other words, the resting is a kind of sense of total fulfillment. There's the idea of the field, the muchachim, the necessary things, and the idea of the delight, and then there is some kind of higher level of resolution, which itself is a level of delight, but it's a higher level of delight, okay, which is the quality of Shabbat.
That means in Shnat Shemitah we shouldn't study.
Only delightful thing.
No, even Karmecha. You would say Shnat Shemitah... No, lo kerem velo sadeh.
The question is, what is menucha?
That's right.
Well, you can say that when you do have everything you need and when you have pleasure, then you have peace of mind.
I think my idea is more correct, more apt. You don't do what you did in the 6 years.
It's interesting. I mean, one way, you see Shabbat itself in relation to the days of the week is seen as a day of tefillah, Torah, a spiritual dimension together with a material dimension as well. Sitting with one's family, eating food together, the Nerot Shabbat shining on the table, all this a spiritual experience, the intimacy of family life, all that is there on Shabbat as a part of a spiritual experience, an indwelling of spirituality in the world. And the ideal of Shnat HaShemitah is that it should have something of this quality. V'yesh lomah b'derech efshar, and one could perhaps say, says the Rebbe, b'omek yoter, deeper, b'biyur inyan zed niitzad hatchala basof, explaining this theme of the beginning being joined in the end, dehinei lefi pshuto, just according to the simple meaning, bli iyun, without going deep, lomdim, we learn sheyesh kam beit inyanim, that there are two things here. B'tchilat ha'kavana shelifnei ha'maseh. First, the intention before the action. V'achar kach b'poel b'sof nishlama kavana zu. And after that, at the end, one's achieved it, and this intention is complete. V'haynu nishlemet kavana zu. V'haynu d'mash na'ut b'tchila. What is there at the beginning is only the intention and the will, how it will be. But in actual fact, it's achieved at the end. As is explained in Hasidic teachings about Rosh Hashanah, which commemorates the time of the creation of the world, Be'inyan kavanat habriya, the intention. Why did God create the world? Shegilui hata'anug shebabriya, the revelation of the delight that is in the creation of the world. Hu dafka b'gmar hamelacha. It's the last page. Yeah. So. Yeah, you have it. Hudavka. It will be the next page. There. Hudavka. Yeah. Hudavka bigma malacha is davka the end of the work. V'yesh v'ma ba'omek yoter, and one could say more deeply, d'lo rak ha'kavana yeshna b'tchila, not only the intention is there at the beginning, eile shegam ha'tachlit atzmo, but the actual goal, v'ainyan atzmo, the actual, that thing that one is trying to reach, shemitgale levasof, which is revealed at the end, yeshno kva b'tchila, is there at the beginning. So in other words, the two ways of looking at it, one is, you have an idea of something that you're going to try to achieve, so you have the image, and so you work towards it, and finally when it's achieved, there it is. But the second way is that the very essence of what you're trying to get, that's, see, let's go back to our mashal of the composer who's composing a symphony. It's not just that he has a vague idea of the symphony and that he gradually works to, and so he starts off with that and he gradually works towards that, and finally he's written the whole symphony and it's being performed and he's able to hear that whole thing with the original intention he had. When he hears that symphony, there is some kind of inner, I'm going to use whatever word is convenient for this, some kind of inner illumination for him, which this symphony is expressing. Something or other. Yes? Some kind of inner revelation. Let's say revelation, not to mix metaphors of hearing and seeing.
All the best.
There's an inner revelation that takes place. That inner revelation, what it's saying here, if I understand it properly, that inner revelation was there right at the beginning. When he sat down to, or he was walking in the woods and thinking about this symphony before he began even doing anything, that revelation was there right at the beginning, and that began the whole process which ends up with the actual process of writing it.
Is this like the Chabad, Chochmah bin Avadat, where you get the concept in the Chochmah, it's not crystallized in any form yet, but the actual totality of it is there in a spark, if you like. And then it gets processed and eventually produced.
Well, that's a very interesting thing. See, David's talking about Chochmah, Bina, Daat, wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Now, Chochmah is often described as the Koachma, like a power of potential, and Kvaraka Mavrik, like lightning, a lightning flash of a realization. And then it goes through a process of Bina, of contemplation, and finally Daat, and Daat means, like the word Vaadam Yada Et Chava, the idea of bonding and bringing something to concretization. Adam knew Eve, that's what the knowledge means, bringing it down Bapoel in action into the world. Now, here comes the interesting point that's being made over here. Is the illumination, the lightning style of illumination of Chochmah, there in the final practical achievement? And what this is talking about here, our discourse, is the way that illumination of Chochmah is there at the very end. And more than that, that the Daat is achieving some kind of illumination, which in fact is what you had in the Chochmah, somehow or other, something like that. So there is, we're going here to the essence of the processes that we experience and endeavor to achieve in life, and the way we are looking at the actual tamtzit, the real essence of what it's all about, and to be able to locate that essence right at the very beginning of the process, and to be able to have that as part of our being at every step on that journey. Dzeyu diyuka lashon na'utz. That's the meaning, or the extra overtones of the word na'utz. Now, sheyesh kan ni'itzat, So he said it in Yiddish. It says hereingestellt und hereingesteckt. It is placed and it's pushed into something. Like it's put there and it's stuck in there.
Like a
knot. Yes, that's yeah. Hasof vahatachlit hatzmo vahatchala. The end, the ultimate goal are there at the very beginning. Haynu shekva bahatchalat ha'inyan, that at the very beginning of the thing, yesh lo asof vahatachlit bepoel, you have the end, the goal, in action. Right at the beginning. Not as the first model, that you start off and slowly you come to the thing in action. And so you had an idea about what it's going to be, and then at the very end you achieve it. But no, the essence of it is there, bepoel, is an actual action and reality there right at the beginning. Umekiven she'inyan ze asof. Since this concept, the end, na'utz v'nimtza kva bahatchala, is there, bonded and existing at the very beginning, harei inyan zeh gam b'chol ma shebein tayim. Then it's also there at every stage in between, from the beginning to the end. V'nimtza, it comes out, she'b'chol ha'davar kulo, that throughout the whole thing, whatever it is one's trying to do, nimtza v'na'utz hasof v'hatachlit shelo. There is existing and is there the ultimate goal. It's a fascinating concept. It's like a way of being in life.
Well, it's a bit like saying at the end that God is all the time there.
Yes, it's the idea that God is all the time there, but it's also, we're talking here about states of existence, yeah, in relation to God and in relation to our own closeness to God.
Yes, but if you say that the Tachlit is at the beginning, you can also say that God is, you know, it's not something that you're going to get to. I mean, it's there all the time.
Okay, all right. That's
all the time and in everything.
Well, that's a beautiful perception. Which means, you see, someone who has that perception is always free. Yeah. Because there are no limitations. Mm-hmm. God is always with the person. And whatever the situation is, might be at this moment that there is some kind of concealment, but you know that the reality, the ultimate infinite reality, is there all the time. Mm-hmm. So that's what it's talking about. Ve'yesh levayze al pi hamavua bedrusha Rosh Hashanah, and one can explain this according to what it says in various Hasidic teachings about Rosh Hashanah, the gabe kavanat habriya, concerning the intention for creation. Ma shenitave. Now this is what it says in Hasidic teachings and in other sources. Shenitave kadosh baruch hu, God desired. Liot lo yitbarach dira betachtonim. Rakrega, I've got a better text. God desired that he should have a dira betachtonim. I'm sorry, it didn't come out properly, but I've got the original, which was photocopied, which is slightly better. That God wanted liot lo yitbarach dira betachtonim, a dwelling in the lower world. Now that's a fascinating concept. Nitave comes from the word taiva, and the way that Hasidic teachings describe this,
which word?
Nitave.
Tava.
Yes, so nitave, that's the old phrase. Nitave HaKadosh Baruch Hu liot lo yitbarach dira betachtonim. That's the now what does it mean nitave? The way they give the image of this is like a pregnant woman who suddenly wants a scrambled egg. I must have a scrambled egg. I don't know if you've experienced that. But suddenly wanting something. So, in other words, beyond any kind of reason, that's nitaveh, that it's a desire without a reason. See, when we have a need or something, it would be good if we had this or that. You know, someone wants a better car. He can give you 7 different reasons why it's good for him to have a better car. But there are certain things a person suddenly wants, he desires, he can't give a reason. Ze ta'ava, ze lemayla min ha'sechel. Now, what is the inner quality of a desire? You see, our psychological and physical experiences are models for the relationship of God with the world. We are like ourselves a mashal. We are like a metaphor. Why do we have a desire? Because there's an image of some kind of ta'anug that we will have when we eat that thing or do that thing. There is a delight, which is the omek, is the depth of the desire. That's why we have a desire to do something, because there's some kind of image of a ta'anug, of a delight that we will have through doing that thing or eating that thing. Now, this is now being applied to God. So it might seem very anthropopathic. Yes, there's anthropomorphism, which is giving God human form, and anthropopathism, which is giving God human emotions. However, this is part of Torah, and particularly the whole Kabbalistic enterprise, which speaks about Sfirot, Chochmah, Binah, Chesed, Gvura, and Rachamim, things like that, which are then the Hasidim apply. They say there's a parable. Mibsari echzeh elokai. From my flesh I see God, because the individual is a microcosm of the macrocosm of the Olam Katan and the Olam Gadol. So therefore, if we have a ta'ava and ta'anug, then infinitely beyond, but there is something similar, structurally similar, at least in relation to the divine. Since there is a delight which is higher than the actual dwelling in the world, the indwelling of God in the world, God desires to have a dwelling in the world. The dwelling in the world is when there's the Beit HaMikdash and the Shekhinah and the Kodesh HaKodeshim, the temple and God in the Holy of Holies, the Divine Presence. But there is a ta'anug which is higher than this. Hare ta'anug zeh, this delight, Nishpa v'nimshach, is flows b'chol seide ishtalshelut, through the whole realm of downchaining of the worlds. K'dei shelo yiyeh rifayon yadayim, a mysterious phrase, so that you shouldn't feel at any moment that it's not going to work. No, it's there all the time. Ad shiyeh giluy ha-ta'anug v'miluy ha-kavanah, till ultimately there will be the revelation of the delight with the completion of the kavanah, of the intention. So that is from Drushei Rosh Hashanah, which is talking about God in the process of creating and recreating the world, and the fact that there is a divine delight, and that divine delight is there every step of the way. And one can suggest the same thing in our topic here, says the Rebbe. Since the goal is bonded, there is reingestellt in the beginning. But it's there at the beginning and all the way through. V'zeu inyan na'ut sofam b'tchilatan, that's what it means, the end is joined in the beginning. Sha'sof atzmo na'ut b'atchala, u'b'chol ma she'beintayim, that the end and the delight, the goal, everything that is there about the end is there at the beginning and all the way through. U'mizeyuvan, and from this thing can be understood, gam ba'avodat ha'adam, also concerning the service of a person. The Be'et Avodat Adam, when the person is serving God, B'chol Ha'inyanim D'Sheish Shanim Titzra Sadecha, with all the different aspects of 6 years of sowing your field, V'Sheish Shanim Titzmo Kamecha, and 6 years pruning the vineyard, whether it is mitzvah, Torah, whatever it is, Tzarich Liot Nikach, it has to be recognizable in the person. Lo rak she'atachlit hu she'yeh Shabbat l'Hashem. Not just that the goal is that there should be a Shabbat for God. Eilu she'avodah zu atzma hi be'ofan de Shabbat l'Hashem. The thing he's doing right now has the quality of Shabbat l'Hashem. So it's not just that he's doing it for a purpose, but the purpose is realized now. Now there's an interesting story which is there in the Mishnah about which is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. They said about Shammai, there was Hillel and Shammai. Kol shekol yamav haya ochel l'chavod Shabbat. All his life he would eat for the honor of Shabbat. Kate said, why? Matza behemana'a, he would find a nice animal to eat. Lokha, he bought it. V'omer, and he said, Zuna Shabbat, this will be for Shabbat. Chuli, etc. So then, the next day, he finds a nicer animal. He said, oh, this will be for Shabbat, and the first one he eats now. So, the first one he originally bought for Shabbat, but he's eating it now because he's now found a second one which is better. Then, the next day he finds an even better animal. He says, ah, this one's going to be for Shabbat. So, each time, everything he's eating is something that originally he got l'chabot Shabbat, for the glory of Shabbat. Haynu shekva ba'avodad achol, that means that even in the weekday service, yesh no etzlo in yom ha-Shabbat, there's the idea of Shabbat all the way through. Umikivin shavodat Yisraeli b'shleimut, and since the service of the Jewish people is whole, hari betach, it's certain, shebiyamot achol, it's certain that during the days of the week, motzi'im tamid mana yafa, we find a nice portion, mana na'a, so, like referring to the story of Shammai, we find something nice for Omrim, and we say Zulu Shabbat. This will be for Shabbat. Shekol inyanahu lavo leShabbat Hashem. The whole inyan is to come to the real quality of Shabbat Hashem, which will then be something of total gilui, of total revelation of God, like you're saying. But all the way through, the person feels the closeness to God and the revelation to God at this moment.
But this is Shammai. Hillel had a different way of looking at things.
You're right. He said,
Baruch Hashem Yom Yom.
That's right, Nachon. It's a very interesting...
Which is more in line with this. Both the Shisha Yamim and the Yom HaShvi. Everything is
you're absolutely
the same.
Yes, it could be an interesting discussion. Like the Bahurei Yeshiva, and sometimes other people, they write like discussions of the Ma'amarim of the Rebbe. So that could be a very nice kind of analysis.
In fact, it says the same thing in different words.
No.
Well, you see, he
prepares for Shabbat.
You see, each
time he says every day is a special day.
Shammai buys on Monday something which he thinks he's going to keep for Shabbat, but in the end, he finds a better thing on Tuesday. So that's going
to
be for Shabbat, and what he bought
he's
originally he eats now.
Whereas Hillel says,
don't worry, each day is will take care of itself. Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, as your husband says. Absolutely right. So, but you're right, that sense of Elokut, of the closeness of Elokut. So maybe somewhere, you see, there's a discussion of this kind of theme in relation to that story of Hillel and Shammai and the way it all fits together. So one could research that and have a nice
Rasha. There is a discussion of this in Masechet Beitzah.
In Masechet Beitzah?
Yes.
Okay. As well.
Somewhere in there, yes.
Okay. Lovely.
That's what I think I read about it.
Beautiful. Huh? Very nice. Lovely. Okay, last paragraph. V'zeu klalut inyan ma'aseinu v'avodteinu. This is the general concept of our efforts and our service of Hashem. B'meshach shit alfei shnin da'avah alma, during the 6,000 years of the world, d'chol ha'giluyim d'la'atid lavo, all the revelations of the future, t'luyim b'ma'aseinu u'b'avodteinu, depend on our actions now. Sh'avodahi b'ofan, our services is in a style, the Sheshanim Tizras Hadecha, the Sheshanim Tizmok Hamecha. 6 years you work the field and you prune the vineyard. Necessities and delights. Uba'ofen Shekvar Ba'atala, and in such a way that right at the beginning, Na'utz HaSof, the end is there. שהסוף הכוונה בזה, because the goal, הוא שיהיה ושבת הארץ שבת לשם, that the land should rest its Shabbat for God, באלף השביעי, in the seventh millennium, שהוא יום שכולו שבת, the day which is complete Shabbat, ומנוחה לחיי עולמים, and rest for the life of all the worlds. ולזה נמצא כבר בעבודה עתה. And that is in our service now. ויהי רצון, מביע השם's will, שמזה נבוא לגילוי הסוף בפועל. That from this idea we should come to the revelation of the end in practical fact, שעל ידי עבודה בזמן הגלות, through the service in the time of exile, נבוא בקרוב ממש, we should come very quickly אל הגאולה האמיתית והשלמה, to the complete גאולה, ועד לתכלית השלמות שבזה, till the total wholeness of this, ליום שכולו שבת, ומנוחה לחיי עולמים, to the day which is complete Shabbat and rest for the life of the world.
זה hinting to the fact that the Mashiach will come in the seventh millennium?
Well, the eschatology of the Talmud is that Mashiach has to come before the seventh millennium. Because the seventh millennium is Shvitat HaOlam, it's a different dimension of existence. It's Aliyat HaOlamot into a more spiritual dimension. So Mashiach coming and building the Beit HaMikdash and stopping all war and bringing the whole Jewish people together, that's before, that's the normal standard theology which emerges from the Talmud and is endorsed through the ages since then. That Mashiach will come now. I mean, even in the time of the Talmud, they thought Mashiach was coming then. Because in the time that the Talmud was being written, in the 5th century, during the 5th century, the Roman Empire fell apart. And it looked that this was the time of Mashiach. They had, there was the Beit HaMikdash and the Romans destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. The Romans are there over the whole known world. And then comes the crumbling of the Roman Empire, I think 415. The year 415 was the first something or other which began knocking down the Roman Empire. And by the year 482 or 485, someone or other of the Roman hierarchy said, the Roman Empire is finished. You know, like, so this was exactly the time that the Talmud was being, the Babylonian Talmud was being completed. So from the point of view of the Talmud, Kalu Kol HaKitzim, all the eschatons have finished, and when will Mashiach Yavo? Hayom, in Bekol HaTishma. Mashiach will come today, if you listen to Hashem's voice. So that's the famous passage in Sanhedrin. So that process is there all the way through, including now, but it's supposed to be completed before the Elef HaShvi'i. So we are approaching the Elef HaShvi'i, so we've got to get it done quick. Because
we're
then...
Open, so there's no, nothing we can do.
No, in Tishmeu.
Well, that's an interesting point. Whether it's just an automatic process or whether it depends on us. And from the Talmud saying, Im Yisrael osin tshuva, nigalin mi, nigalin. Yeah. And the Rambam adds, nigalin miyad. That one. Okay.
Thank you very much.